As Pastor Dave mentioned, I've had the joy of working for IJM for 7 years now in three different countries. And, you know, before I jump into my sermon this morning, I just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you. If this church, Sarnia EMC, is your home church, thank you for your long obedience in the same direction with IJM in the Philippines. We truly couldn't do this work without you and your generosity. You may not realize this, but your church is one of IJM's closest partners all across Canada. And in my role, getting to work with the Canadian church, that's why I'm here. I'm here this morning because you're that close to our hearts, and you're really one of our most generous church partners across the country. So thank you for your generosity. Let me start by telling you a little bit about IJM, and we can jump to the next slide here. IJM is the world's largest anti-slavery organization, but we're also Christian. In fact, we do this work because of our Christian faith and because of our biblical call to seek justice for people in oppression. In our time together, I'm going to share a little bit about our work at IJM, but we're also going to talk about the God of justice. But first, I want to introduce you to someone, and we can hop to this next slide. This is William Carey. Now, William Carey was one of the first Western missionaries to India, the country that I was born and raised in. He's also known as the father of modern missions. But William Carey arrived in India in 1800 to preach the gospel by doing Bible translation work. But just a few months into his time as a missionary, William Carey witnessed an event that would change the course of his ministry for the rest of his life. William Carey watched his first Indian funeral, and he watched helplessly as a young widow was brought out alive and burned alive with her dead husband. But what devastated William Carey even more was realizing that this practice of bride burning was actually pretty common all across northern India at that time. Now here's the tension that William Carey faced. Carey had come all the way from England to India to preach the gospel. But now he'd stumbled upon the social injustice, the systemic injustice. Carey had a choice. He could either just preach the gospel, just do what he was sent there to do, or he could just seek justice. Now, what would you do in that situation? Would you just preach the gospel, or would you just seek justice? I'm going to try to point us in the right direction here this morning by pointing us to Jesus' definition of the gospel. So if you have your Bible, feel free to pull up Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. Luke 4, 16 to 21. And I'm going to read that for us. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for this time you've given us to gather around your word and to hear from you. So God, I pray that in these next few minutes, all other things would fade away in our minds. All other distractions would fade away. And your voice would be the loudest voice coming from your word this morning. And now if you're comfortable, I'm going to ask you. You pray in your hearts and you ask God to speak to you from his word this morning. Let's do that for a few moments in our hearts. Now, if you would, I'm going to ask that you pray for me, that my words would be helpful in pointing you to Jesus this morning. Let's do that in our hearts for a few moments. Father, we love you. Use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to talk about three things, if you're taking notes. We're going to talk about a problem, a solution, and a response. A problem, a solution, and a response. So let's talk about the problem. You see, one of the problems that we don't talk about enough in the church, and of course your church is an exception to this, but one of the problems that the church at large doesn't talk about enough is the sin of injustice. Now, I know that in the broken world that we live in, the words justice and injustice have been hijacked by the political left and the political right for their purposes, right? So let me try to center us this morning by providing us with a Christian definition for justice and injustice. And this is actually Augustine's definition of justice and injustice. What's justice? Justice is giving to each person their due. Justice is giving to each person the good things that God intended for them. Well, what's injustice then? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that injustice is the opposite of justice, right? If justice is giving to someone their due, then injustice is taking away from someone the good things that God intended for them. Jesus came to give us life and life to the fullest. Amen? So the taking away of that life is an act of injustice. One of the injustices that we take on at IJM, and the injustice that I'm going to talk about this morning, that I'm going to spotlight for us this morning, is the injustice of modern day slavery. There are 50 million people in slavery today. And if you're hearing that number for the first time, it's because this number actually came out from a study 2 weeks ago. So the last time I spoke at a church a month ago, I used the previous statistic that we had, which was 40 million. But there was a study that was done a couple of weeks ago by the International Labor Organization, and they've now found that the number of people in slavery has gone up by 10 million over the last 5 years. 10 million, that's a 20% increase in people who are enslaved around the world. And these aren't just numbers. These aren't just statistics. These are real people. I've gotten to meet many of them after we rescued them. These are men, women, and children made in the image of God in slavery right now. Now, I know that 50 million can seem like a really big number, so let me contextualize that number for us. Canada has 38 million people. So what I am telling us this morning is that there are more people in slavery around the world than there are Canadians. Think about that for a second. Now, one of the darkest forms of trafficking that I have ever seen in my 7 years at IJM is the online sexual exploitation of children in the Philippines, the type of trafficking that your church helps combat with IJM. You know, before the internet, criminals had to physically go to a bar or a brothel to abuse little children. But today, abusers located anywhere in the world and anywhere in Canada can abuse children without ever leaving their homes. Here's how this works. Someone here in Sarnia or in Ontario can find a trafficker online in the Philippines through Facebook or WhatsApp and can pay as little as $50 an hour to direct the live-streamed abuse of little children. These perpetrators are shielded by the virtual nature of the internet, but let me assure you, there is absolutely nothing that's virtual about this crime. Little girls and little boys are forced to perform sex acts on themselves or on each other or with an adult. Or they're exploited in other violent ways that I'm not even going to begin to describe in church this morning. There are an estimated 750,000 predators online right now, at this moment, looking for these children to prey on. And with COVID lockdowns, these children are more vulnerable today than ever before. Over the past 10 years, IJM Philippines has helped rescue more than 1,000 children from this type of slavery. These are children of all ages, but just so you know, because I'm sure some of you are wondering, the youngest child that we ever rescued was 2 months old. So let me ask you this. What does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say about the injustice that's perpetrated against these children in the Philippines? What does the good news of Jesus Christ, what does the gospel have to say about the 50 million people in slavery right now? Does the good news of Jesus Christ have anything to say about these injustices? Here's the reality. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And it says it all throughout the Bible. And I'm going to show us just how by pointing us to the promise of God that we see in the Bible. So we talked about a problem, the sin of injustice and the injustice of modern day slavery. Let's now contrast that with the solution. Let's talk about the hope, the promise of God. What is the promise of God? You know, here in the West, because of our Western individualism, many of us have found a way to individualize the Bible. We've found a way to individualize God's promise. So we like to talk about and sing about God's promises for you and God's promises for me. But what is God's promise according to the Bible? Well, I hate to break it to us, but God's promise is not about just you or just me. Now, don't get me wrong, God's promise involves us, but it's not about just us. It's about all of creation. All of creation. So, I can look around the room and see that some of you are still not convinced, so I'm going to do this, okay? I'm going to go through the entire Bible in 2 minutes without putting you to sleep. How about that? So let's start with Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And it was good. But then, in Genesis 3, you see a plot twist. You see sin entering the world, and you see the fall. And one of the first sins that we see in Genesis 4 is the sin of injustice, when Cain kills his brother Abel. But God is a good God. So God raises up Israel to show his just character, to embody his just character. But Israel can't get it together because of their false idols, their false gods. But God is a good God. So God raises up rulers to embody his just character. And he gives these rulers a simple task: to protect the poor and to punish the wicked. And you see this all throughout the Old Testament, right? But you also see these rulers disobeying God because of their idol worship. So instead of protecting the poor, these rulers start to oppress the poor. And instead of punishing the wicked, these rulers start to protect the wicked. But God is a good God. So God raises up prophet after prophet, and he sends these prophets to these rulers to call them back to the heart of God, and to call them back to God's just character. But these rulers ignore these prophets, and that's how the Old Testament ends, right? With a period of silence of 400 years. But that is not where the story of the Bible ends. Because God so loved the world that he sent us his only begotten Son, Jesus. And this same Jesus promises to establish a new kingdom on earth through his church, as we see in Revelation. This kingdom where every tear is wiped away, where all oppression shall cease, where God's justice is fully restored here on earth as it is in heaven, where every child is protected from ever being exploited in the first place. This is the full gospel, the full good news of Jesus Christ. This is the full good news of his kingdom. You see, the gospel, or the good news, is that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, right? But the gospel is also that Jesus is coming back to redeem and restore all of creation from our sin, to repair and restore every broken justice system from our sin. And he'll do this by redeeming and restoring broken people like you and I first. You see, there are two camps of Christians right now. The Christians who say, just preach the gospel, and the Christians who say, just seek justice. Just preach the gospel or just seek justice. You know, William Carey faced this tension in India. What do I do? Do I just preach the gospel or do I just seek justice? I would submit to you that both of these camps are wrong. You see, a proper understanding of Scripture teaches us to do both. Preach the gospel and seek justice. Seek justice and preach the gospel. Why? Because if your good news isn't good news to the poor, as Jesus says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, if your good news isn't freedom for people in captivity, if your good news isn't recovery of sight to the blind, if your good news doesn't set people free from oppression, then your good news is probably not the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it's not the promise of God that we see from Genesis to Revelation. And that's exactly what Jesus reminds us of here in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus announces his mission statement, and he says in verse 21, today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. Here's my first point. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. Because Jesus is the good news. Now, even as I say that, I can see the skepticism in some of your eyes as you look back at me and you say, Josh, I've heard this in church my entire life. Jesus is the good news. Yes, I believe this in my head. But it's hard for me to reconcile this in my heart right now when I hear stories like the ones you shared from the Philippines. How is Jesus good news to these children in the Philippines right now? How is Jesus good news to people in brokenness and suffering and injustice right now? How is Jesus good news to the 50 million people in oppression and slavery right now? I'll tell you how. It's because Jesus establishes his church. It's because Jesus establishes his church, his body, his hands, his feet, to do what he says he'll do in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to set free the oppressed. This is the mission of Jesus. This is the mission of the church. And by giving to your church and by giving to IJM, Sarnia EMC is proclaiming to this unjust world that we live in that Jesus' mission is your mission too. You know, God has a plan to end slavery in our lifetime. He does have a plan to end slavery in our lifetime. But his plan is us, the people in this room, Sarnia Evangelical Missionary Church, even. Because freed people, free people. Rescued people, rescue people. God has rescued us from our sins, not that so we can pat ourselves on the back, but God has rescued us from our sins so that we can join him. We can partner with him, as a church's vision statement says, in his rescue mission for all of creation. You see, God doesn't just save us from something. He also saves us for something. God doesn't just save us from our sin. He also saves us for participation in his kingdom, specifically by seeking justice. Which brings me to my second point. The promise of God is enabled by the Spirit of God. The promise of God is enabled by the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know if anyone has caught this in the text, but the Holy Spirit is a central character in Luke chapter 4. He's actually one of the main characters here. But not just in Luke chapter 4. If you go back to the previous verses of Luke 4 and Luke 3, we see the baptism of Jesus in Luke 3, right? Where the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And then Luke 4, verse 1 says this, "Then Jesus left the Jordan full of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." But we see the Spirit again in Luke 4, verse 14. "Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit." There's the Holy Spirit again. Which brings us to Luke 4, 18. When Jesus declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to do these things." Brothers and sisters, seeking justice and proclaiming the good news by setting people free from slavery and oppression is a work of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Seeking justice is a work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is concerned with the renewal of all things. And if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we will want to seek justice. Here's my final point about the promise of God. The promise of God is justice. The promise of God is justice. Because God the Father promises us through his Son and through his Holy Spirit to usher in his new creation. Because one day there will be no more slavery. Because one day there will be no more children being abused online. Because one day there will be no more injustice. Why? Because the promise of God is justice. And God is always faithful to his promises. God always keeps his promises. Always. So we talked about a problem, the sin of injustice and modern day slavery. We talked about a solution, the promise of God, Jesus and us, his church. Let's now talk about a response. If seeking justice was a priority for Jesus, as we see in Luke chapter 4, then shouldn't this be our priority too? If setting people in oppression free was the priority of Jesus, then shouldn't this be our priority too? Then why is it that only some of us feel passionate about the work of justice? Why not all of us? So here's a tangible next step that I want to invite all of us into as we look to apply this sermon and this text into our lives. Respond in generosity. Respond in generosity. Now, why generosity? Well, we're generous towards people in oppression because Jesus was first generous to us while we were being oppressed by our sin. We're generous to people in slavery because Jesus was first generous to us while we were still enslaved to our sin. Now, the first place that I want to challenge you to be generous towards is your local church, SEMC. Your church, like I said, is one of IJM's most generous church partners in Canada. So if this is your home church and you don't currently give to your church, can I encourage you to start giving today? And if you do give to your church, maybe consider giving more so that your church is able to go further in its impact around the world, including the Philippines. Now, I know that some of you are processing this sermon and you're thinking, Joash, I get this. I love that my church is involved with IJM. But I feel the Holy Spirit nudging me to also personally get involved in this fight. How can I get involved with IJM? Well, if that's you, I want you to consider becoming a Freedom Partner with IJM. Now, what's a Freedom Partner? On your seat this morning is a form, or somewhere around your seat, you'll see a form. And if you don't have one, we'll have some at the back on your way out. But let me tell you what a Freedom Partner is. Freedom Partners are a generous community of IJM supporters. My wife and I are Freedom Partners as well. And Freedom Partners give $50 a month, or $100 a month, or $250 a month to support urgent rescue needs month after month. It's really about giving whatever you can every single month. Now, $50 a month is the equivalent of one aftercare kit for one rescued child survivor in the Philippines, month after month. So that's hope that you're providing for that one rescued child every single month. Now, I know that some of you here are doing the math in your heads, and you're thinking, you know what? God has blessed me, and he's blessed my family. And we can do this for two kids at $100 a month, or five kids in the Philippines in partnership with our church at $250 a month. Awesome. Do that with us this morning. So to join us as a Freedom Partner, you can fill out the form on your seats, or we'll have some at the table on your way out as well. You can also go online if you prefer signing up online. We have a QR code back there. Feel free to scan that, or you can go to ijm.ca/justice, ijm.ca/justice. And something that I'd want to do for Pastor Dave is I'd want to track every single person from this church who becomes a Freedom Partner. And when we celebrate the church's giving to IJM, we can also tally the giving through that and celebrate the impact that this church has on our work. And I know some of you are already Freedom Partners with us, and thank you for being Freedom Partners, and maybe prayerfully consider leaning in more if the Spirit's leading you in that direction. Now, as you fill out your card or your online link, let me just say this. The work of justice is expensive. It's expensive because seeking justice Jesus's way will always cost us something. Always. You know, becoming a Freedom Partner at $50 a month or $100 a month or $250 a month will cost you something. It'll probably cost you dinner at your favorite steakhouse once a month. But this is what happens when Jesus' priority becomes our priority too. But just to give you another example, it costs $10,000 to fund one rescue operation. That includes everything from investigator fees to legal fees to therapy hours, gas in the tank, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I have a feeling that there's someone here thinking, you know what? God has really been good to us. He's really blessed our family. He's really blessed our business. $10,000 for one rescue operation? Like, my family could do that. My business could do that. We had a great year. We had a great quarter. If that's you, I want you to talk to Pastor Dave, and I promise you, we'll put your funds to good use. And I know that a couple of years ago, there was someone here who responded in generosity that way and decided to fund a rescue operation. So I don't know who that person is. I think you're anonymous, but if that's you, thank you for that as well. But does seeking justice cost us something? And if not, what priorities do we need to realign? What priorities do we need to move around in our time, in our energy, in our budgets, so that God's priority and God's promise of justice becomes our priority too? But let me close with a picture of hope, with a picture of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the Philippines because of your church and because of IJM's work and because of your church partnering with God and with IJM in the Philippines. Because make no mistake, the online sexual exploitation of children will come to an end one day. But it's going to take all of us. It's going to take every single one of us to end this. Not just your church's missions team, not just Pastor Dave, but all of us. And we know that God will do this because he's already done this in the Philippines with another crime that IJM used to fight, child sex trafficking. You know, when we first started working in the Philippines, brothels and bars in cities like Cebu were crowded with children being trafficked for sex. Our goal was to see a 20% reduction in the prevalence of children being sold for sex. So from 2006 to 2010, our team in Cebu worked alongside local authorities to rescue and restore survivors of trafficking and to hold the criminals accountable. And then it was time to see if children in Cebu were safer than before. Again, our goal was a 20% reduction. But because of the Filipino church and government and churches like your church stepping up to the plate here in Canada, we saw a 72% drop in child sex trafficking in this one city. Praise God. So we launched similar programs in two other cities in the Philippines, Manila and Pampanga, to see if we could replicate these results. In Manila, we documented a 75% reduction. And in Pampanga, we saw an 86% reduction in children being sold for sex. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in just one country that we're in. Imagine, just imagine with me what the Holy Spirit could do all over the world if all of us stepped up to the plate. Through our giving, through our prayers, and through our advocacy. So today we talked about a problem, a solution, and a response. The problem is the sin of injustice. The solution is God's promise for all creation, Jesus and his church. And the response is to join what the Holy Spirit is doing all over the world by joining your church and joining IJM as a Freedom Partner. however you can, however the Spirit leads you. William Carey had a choice. He could either just preach the gospel or he could just seek justice. Well, guess what? William Carey responded in generosity, and he did both. And by the end of his life, William Carey had played a huge role in the abolition of bride burning across India. But not only that, by the end of William Carey's life, he had also translated the Bible into more than 6 different languages, and portions of the Bible into more than 29 different languages. William Carey did both. He preached the gospel, and he lived the gospel by seeking justice. Sarnia Evangelical Missionary Church, may we also go and do the same. Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Dave back up. Father God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for their generosity. I thank you for the impact that they're already having around the world in partnership with IJM Philippines. And so God, I pray that you would recruit more workers, more laborers, because the harvest is plentiful. But you're waiting for more of us to say yes and say that Jesus' mission is our mission too. And so God, I pray blessings upon this church, and I pray that you continue to allow them to be a blessing in everything they do here locally as well. And we pray that your name would be lifted high. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.